If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1170. This is your host, Danny Pena. And also joining me on this episode of GTR, my brother, Nano. What's up, Nano? What's going on?
Hey, what's going on? I haven't been on in a while. I'm glad to finally get a chance to speak. Keep me in the caves.
Yeah, it's been a while for you, man. Been a while. But we're going to be talking about the new Nickelodeon game that just came out a couple weeks ago, man. So we're definitely going to be talking about that. Which version of the game do you have? You have all of them, right? Or just...
I have it on several Xboxes for me and the kids. And I have it on the Switch as well.
Ooh, Switch. But what...
Which is... It's probably my favorite version of the ones that I have. You know, I only have it on two platforms, but I really like
it. All right. Definitely we'll be talking about that. Again... Paris and Pete not going to be joining us, but they will in the future. But we're going to have a great conversation. Also, I sat down with Ali, the product manager at PDP. We talked about the new products that just launched, Victrix, the Victrix controller, headset. I think people are going to like this a lot. So we're going to have that conversation later on the show. So stay tuned for that. But first of all, head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback, listen to our past episodes. You also can find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. And make sure to subscribe, follow us, and also post a review. It will help us out so much. Also, if you'd like to be part of our fan mode discussion or segment, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, now before we start our conversation about the new fighting game of Nickelodeon,
I love it.
I just finished live streaming my first cooking stream with Lionx and Games, and that was a lot of fun. I did tres golpes. For those who don't know, that's a Dominican breakfast dish.
Now, I'm curious as to how good that dish came out, because it looked okay on the stream. I was like, oh, you know what? He looks like he knows what he's doing, but I grew up with you, and you didn't cook much. So I was...
Oh.
How was the flavor?
Really fantastic. I mean, we ate the whole thing. Right. I mean... My mango came out really good. I think that's the one part where it takes longer to make is the mango, is the mashed plantains, for those who don't know. But it came out really good, man. I mean, look, overall, it's a very easy dish to do, but I think the part that people...
It's easy to mess it up. I think it's easier to mess up that dish than it is to make it like really nice and flavorful. A lot of people think it's an easy dish, but like if you tackle it the wrong way, that thing could come out terrible, and all lumpy and
which and part?
No flavor.
Which part? You talking about more of the plantains or just the cheese or what?
All together. So like the way I make mine, I reserve some of the water that you cook the plantains in.
Yes.
You know, make sure to salt the water, not too much. You don't want it overly salty, but reserve some of that water because when you're mashing the plantains, you want to add some of that water just to give it a little more,
could it be more smoother,
salty flavor? Yeah,
and it could be smoother too.
You have to add the water, and you have to add. What do you use? Butter or oil?
Butter.
That's the way to go.
Yeah,
I think that's the way to go. Butter, oil. I mean, butter, water, and I threw a little onion powder. and a little bit of garlic powder in there, and yeah, it comes out perfect.
You know, we added, because of Reese, we added adobo. A little
adobo
bit.
Was a good choice,
and it was really good. I was like, "Yo, this is awesome!" I was like, "Man, we should just put salt." She's like, "No, let's mess around with this." I'm like, "All right."
I think adobo really is more, I would say, like more Puerto Rican flavor than Dominican. Dominicans don't even add the onion powder and all that stuff that I do.
No, they don't. They don't.
But
at
then
all.
Again, it's mango. You know, you do what you want.
Yeah, I mean, it's a personal choice. But you're right about the water. Actually, we saved the water. So when I was mashing the plantains, I added the water to the plantains so it could be less smoother. Also, which I highly recommend to save when you make the onions with vinegar, save that. Also, you could add it into the plantains so you could have that little vinegar slash onion flavor in there. So, but it came out really good. I really enjoyed it. Really, really nice. Good. Yeah, and also
one of my favorite things. You know what's funny? Yeah. I made a huge amount of mango. Yesterday was it? I think it was yesterday. I had to wake up like at 4 a.m. because Kai's school was celebrating Hispanic Heritage, and her class got chosen to do Dominican Republic.
Oh, really? Wow! Perfect. Yeah, perfect spot for.
Yeah, yeah, she. You know, she's half Dominican, so I was like, you know what? I'll make the mango, and I ended up making. Man, I think I had like 20 plátanos that I had to peel at 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know, the kids loved it. So
yeah, now it's always fun. Everybody's going to have a different way how to cut the plátanos. How do you cut it? Because everybody has different ways. But I want to hear. I know this is very cooking topic. We're going to go video games in a few minutes, but go ahead.
We'll get back into the games. But yeah. I always do tip, not too much, about a quarter inch, half an inch.
Yes.
And then I used to do the whole plantain. But I would always mess up peeling the skin. So an easier way to peel it would be just to cut it in half and then, you know, give it a nice vertical slice and just one and peel from there. Use your knife to pry it open and then, you know, just use your hands to peel.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, what I do is tip, but cut the edges of the plátano. So it will be easier for me to remove the peel it.
The skin.
The skin. So it's a lot easier like that. But I also heard another way where you could boil a plátano with the skin.
It'll come off.
And it will come out right away. So that's another way you could do it too.
I do it the old school way, man. My mom, she would kill me if she saw me boiling it with the skin. She's like so old school. Like she just rips it open and just with her hands, bare hands, rips that plátano open.
That's all good. It's all good. All right, so let's go back to games. That was the cooking show. We should do a podcast about cooking because I'm still learning.
Hey, I love cooking, so.
Nano's a really good cook. Make sure to hit him up for dishes, right? But Nano, let's talk about this new Nickelodeon game. What's the full name of this game?
Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl.
So people will compare this to Smash Brothers. How, before we go to about the overall game, how will you compare this to Smash Brothers?
I mean, it's pretty much it's a clone copy of Smash Brothers, but in the same sense, it has its own personality because you get to play with your favorite Nickelodeon characters. Like, who doesn't want to play as SpongeBob or Patrick? Or you can go into other franchises. They have All Real Monsters, Ren and Stimpy.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, Airbender. They have so many classic Nickelodeon shows that it's a lot like Smash Brothers, but it's its own game. Like, I love it just because it's based off nostalgia, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, if you grew up watching Nickelodeon, which I'm sure most of us did.
Yes.
You're going to be attracted to this game right away. There's a ton of characters, you know, each with their own unique levels, and they're like very good move lists. Like, I think everybody has a decent amount of like unique moves
mm-hmm.
that are specific to that character, and it's fun. You know, it's very similar to Smash Brothers, but I think it holds its own.
No, that's good. That's good. That's good. Now, who is your favorite characters that you use in this?
I mean, I try to stay away from the top tier characters. But you know, you play with what you want, you know, since I grew up with all these characters. So I like playing a little bit with everybody. But I think I lean more towards SpongeBob or like CatDog. Mm. Although I hate playing with them because everybody online picks these characters. So it really gives you a chance to like try new people out.
Mm-hmm.
I personally, I like Helga from Hey Arnold.
Okay.
She's the blonde girl with the pigtails. She's super fun. She's just a funny character. And I liked her in the cartoon when I used to watch it.
Yeah. What? Why is it that do you think people are going to play this right away? Is it because more of the nostalgia, or you think it's just the game overall is fun? Like, let's say someone that are not fans of the characters, do you think they still will have fun playing this?
Yeah. It's, you know what it is? It's, you come into it and you see trailers and everything, like, oh my God, it's another Smash Brothers emulator. You know, it's a clone of this super popular franchise that we're all familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
They do it best. They have the best platform fighter. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But Nickelodeon it's a really good game. Like, the All-Star Brawl is a really fun game. When you get into it, the online matches are smooth.
Yeah.
Everything is basically one-on-one online. They don't really let you play a four-player, aside from, like, when you're having, like, local battles. And I don't think you want to play this type of game with so many people online. It'll really, like, drag the frame rate down, and hopefully everybody has good internet.
For both,
nobody ever does on the
for
Switch.
For both versions, the Switch and the Xbox?
I mainly played the Switch more than the Xbox, just because I wanted to test it out on handheld mode and see how the Switch netcode handled the game.
Yeah.
And it was, overall, it was pretty smooth. I don't think I had any more than like one or two bad experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only blame that on like probably the other person's internet. You know, like, you got to remember, on the Switch, you're mainly playing on Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, like, I had a great time online. I had clean, smooth matches. No real frame rate drop. You know, everybody kind of, you tend to fight the same person over and over again as far as characters.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it that leads you to pick new characters. You know, you want to play with Aang, the airbender. Nobody uses him that much online. You could play with April from Ninja Turtles. You know, you could pick Leonardo himself.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different characters that you could play with. It has a ton of replayability.
Now, do they have voice or anything like in the cartoons?
No, that's the worst thing of this game. I think if anything, if I had to, and I've been saying nothing but good things so far, the worst thing that this game has is the huge miss that they've made on just overall sound. I think voice acting was very much needed in this game.
Mm-hmm.
It kills me. Like, you know, you have all these characters that their voices are so iconic. These characters are, like, you hear SpongeBob's voice, you know instantly what it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They should have added those, you know, I don't know if it was a money issue or maybe they didn't have the right funding to get the voice actors, the original voice actors, to play a part. Or maybe the game felt, it just feels a little rushed. It could have taken a little more time to polish it a little better. But as far as, like, voice acting, huge miss. The soundtrack, a lot of these levels have, it's like really repetitive music.
Very generic, like, very generic music, or?
Well, it seems like a loop, like a short loop. Mm-hmm. eight seconds or maybe even less, like 10 second loops of just the same sound song over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself half of the time, since I was playing on the Switch, I wouldn't even really use sound, you know, like I was on handheld mode. So I'd put the volume really low and I'd just enjoy the game for what it was, which is a really good fighter. It's really fun. The characters have great moves.
Yeah.
And you know, for all I could say is, if you're a Nickelodeon fan, you're going to love it. And if you're not, and you're just a platform fighter fan, this holds up.
Mm. Yeah, I'm wondering why they didn't invest the money also to get some of the music from the cartoons and also voice acting. Like, could it be a budget issue, do you think? Or more of like, we have to release this on time or whatever. Like, could it be
I think they were trying to meet a deadline more than anything. Obviously, you wouldn't know unless you spoke to the publishers, which is, I think, Ludosity and Fairplay Labs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They work together on this game. So, you know, they'd be the only ones to answer that. But I really think it's a little bit of both. You know, like, it could have been a money issue. Maybe the funding wasn't there.
Yes.
You're talking about a lot of big names and a lot of big cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting the rights to that is tough. A lot tougher than I can imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
So a little bit of that, and like meeting the deadline, probably getting this game to release on time, you know, probably played a big part in why they didn't have the voice acting.
Now, how's the controls? Is it very technical? Is it very easy to control, like, you know, compared to like other fighting games or what?
It's very simple. I think everybody has, if I can remember correctly, no more than like 15 to 20 moves, maybe like 18 to 20 moves per character. Very unique. Every character has their own unique moveset. But it just it feels like it feels very random. Like a lot of these moves don't some of them are like I say 18, but it's really because the same button that you press on the ground is different when you press it in the air. So you find yourself fighting on the ground a lot more, but there's a lot of air dashing. You know, they added they have an old feature that used to be in the previous Smashes where it was a wave dash where you could kind of like while you're on the ground dash around the map and add more movement. So wave dashing is fun. That's not in the new Smash Brothers. They brought it back for this game. But also like the menu screen for the characters. So like the move sets. When you go trying to look at some characters don't even have moves listed on their moveset. You just kind of figure it out when you're playing in the game. And it's frustrating because it's really good moves. The girl from Airbender, I can't remember her name. She's the Earthbender.
Yes, that's from the second of the series.
Yeah, so she has a move where I didn't even know until I started playing. Because I go through all the movesets for any fighting game that I play. Where she could put like a platform as she's jumping, so like a dirt pile would a rock should I say would end up right below her, and she could stand on that platform and jump back on the stage. I didn't know that until like 5 or 10 games in.
Yeah.
And it's something that should have been on the move list, you know, but it wasn't. So again, this game feels a little rushed, but what it does do well at is the combat, and I think that's what's going to win people over.
Now, do you experience any major lags while playing this, like on online? Because here's the thing, a lot of fighting games, especially Smash, is very laggy online, man. Very, very laggy. So the experience makes it so like annoying, you know what I'm saying?
I think a big part of that is Smash is only on the Switch, right?
Yeah.
So we all know the Nintendo and their online system is just, it doesn't hold up to PlayStation or Xbox Live.
Yeah.
But this game does a really good job of giving you a solid online experience. Again, because it's only restricting you to 1v1 on competitive, on just free play. They really just want you to play 1v1. I don't know if that was to, you know, kind of give you a easier experience online and not give you such a laggy, you know, round or match.
Yes.
But they do. It's good. Like I haven't had any problems playing online.
Now, is this like a full price game? Is this like $59.99 or is it cheaper or what?
I think this game is priced at $40, right? I think it's $39.99.
I'll make a double check right now and see how much it is.
Yeah, we'll look it up right
now.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's priced fairly. Like it's not, you know,
$49.99.
Well, I think they had it on sale actually for the first week it was out. That's why I was saying that.
Oh, okay, but, okay.
You know, it's either way, $50. I think it's worth the game. Like, if you're a fan of platform fighters, it's worth every penny. You know, you're gonna get your money's worth. It's fun offline, online. It does a good job with like their online play is fun. They did a good job where you don't really experience that usual lag that you get with other Nintendo games.
Now, there's going to be parents that want to know, hey, is it worth buying this for my kids during the holiday season? What do you have to say about that? Because I also will recommend for parents to wait and see if there's any specials during Black Friday. You know, that happens all the time when a brand new game releases. Sometimes you might see the price even cheaper, maybe $30, $20. You never know.
Yes. I'm an older individual. So these characters and what they represent, they resonate a little more with me just because I grew up with them. But if your son or daughter, you know, if your kids are fans of Nickelodeon in general, they still have SpongeBob airing. You know, there's new episodes all the time. Patrick, SpongeBob, Ninja Turtles, all these characters still have shows that are ongoing. There's a good chance your kid watches one of these. So they will enjoy it. I think you know, I gave it to my kids, and they have friends that have the game. They've been playing nonstop. It's a fun game, and I think any, the thing is, like, kids from as young as what, 6 or 7 years old, all the way to, you know, I'm 35 and I'm playing this game almost every day.
That's good. That's,
you know,
good.
So there's a really big range as far as fan base.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if you have nostalgia or if you love these characters, this is a game that you should pick up. It's really fun.
Now, we have to compare now. We have to compare the systems, man. How was your experience playing this on the Switch and also on Xbox? I know in the beginning of the recording, you said that you enjoyed the Switch version more than anything else, and I'm wondering why. Why that version is better?
Again, mainly because, oh, you know, if I had this available on Microsoft's xCloud, like on if it was mobile,
yes,
and I could play it through you know, my Game Pass or however, you know, Microsoft decides to deliver it,
mm-hmm.
I would probably play it more on that version than with my Switch. My Switch is portable, so I could take this with me anywhere.
Yes,
I have it on both Switch, the original OG Switch, because that's the only one that I have, and now I just bought the Switch Lite for my daughter. But me and her, I've been playing. She's only 5 years old. She loves this game.
That's good. That's good.
But the Switch version is just, it leans more. I lean more towards that because, again, it's handheld. I can travel with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can connect online at any, wherever I have Wi-Fi reception. So I think that's why I leaned more towards that. But the Xbox version is just as fun. That's where my son plays. He plays with all his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't heard any complaints at all.
Is it a
bit? He had one game that was really laggy, but his friend has like terrible internet, so I kind of lean more towards that.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes a lot of sense. Now, is it very laggy if you compare? But there's no crossplay, right?
No, none. No crossplay, which kind of is a bummer. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if they're going to integrate that or introduce that into the series a little later on. I don't know how far they're going to take this game, but you know, there's a lot of flaws, right? Like, it's not all stars and stripes. It's not a perfect game,
mm-hmm.
but yeah. it hits the right benchmarks. It does what it's supposed to do in the categories that I would want personally.
Yeah.
I think it's a great game.
I was going to ask you about the difference between Xbox version and Nintendo Switch when it comes to like online. How was the experience?
Much smoother on the Xbox. I mean, again, I'm talking about like my house is all my Xboxes are hardwired.
Yeah. You know,
we all have a direct connection. It's no, we don't, I don't really mess with wireless anymore. Except for my Switch.
Mm-hmm.
But I did have a better experience, I would say, on the Xbox, just because I had those few games where it lagged on the Switch. But again, I'm attributing that more to Nintendo and
the
usual lag that I expect.
Of course. And there's no voice chat in there either.
None. It's a bummer, you know? Like, there's so much that Nintendo could do to catch up to where Xbox Live and PlayStation are,
mm-hmm.
As far as online is, as online goes. But, you know, they are who they are, and you take what they give you.
Yeah. If you have to say, as a fan of fighting games, one thing that you would love for this to change if they do a part two, what would be like one major issue that you have with this game that you would love for them to add this in the next game?
Definitely don't miss out on the ability to introduce the voice actors to this game, because like I think that, I mean, you don't even get anything in the game. Like, you get zero sound. Like, it's not the characters that they look like the characters you love, mm-hmm. but they don't sound like them. You know, like, it's just, there's that element that's missing to make this game perfect, in my opinion. You know, music could be better. I think the level design is fun, but you know. I wish there was more. I don't want to compare it to Smash, because mm-hmm. Smash has so much polish. It's such a perfect platform fighter that like it's unfair to compare this game to that. Although they should have held that as their, you know, like that. This is what we're aiming to be. But I think Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl, like, if they do get a second release or even a major update, I'd want to see a few more like mini games added to the game, just something that's significant. Like, more attributing to like the characters themselves, like have fun mini games in it. Like Smash has so much available.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That you could play that game for hours on hours, for days, for, you know, years nonstop. And there's new things to experience all the time. This game, it's mainly meant for combat. Like if you're not fighting, mm-hmm. there's not much else to do.
Yeah. And you know what? One thing that I love about every other fighting game, the music and the voice, adding that to the level that you play, depending what level that you play, right? It changes the experience and it hypes you up. And so I feel like they missed a lot of the things in there. And when you play the game, you just want to fight. You're not really care much about that experience that you would get from other fighting games, right? Because it's missing so much stuff in the game, right?
Yeah, there's not much depth in the game aside from like a really good fighter. Like that's what it's great at. Like if you take it for that aspect alone, this game does what it's great. You know, like I think it's fun. A huge combo system. Like I haven't even really dived as deep as I wanted to, mm-hmm. as far as like certain characters and how much I want to practice with them. But there's a lot of good players online.
Really? That's good to hear.
Like a ton of people are taking this like a lot more serious than I thought they would. Mm-hmm. But it's because it's such a good game. Like it's a really good fighting game. Other than that, you know, if you're not into the platform fighters or like fighting games in general, this game might not be your forte.
I see what you're saying. I see. All right. Anything else, Nano? Anything else before we wrap the review up?
No. Just I'm enjoying it. Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl, super fun. I recommend getting it, you know, for yourself or your kids. It's fun to play at home, even if you're not into competitive fighting. Mm-hmm. Although competitively online, really fun. A lot of good competition out there. And a lot more people playing it than I thought they would. But even if you're just going to play at home and enjoy it with friends and family, it's still, I think it's worth every penny.
No, that's good. That's good to hear. And you know what, Nando? I'm actually, I'm going to try this out. Let's see, you know, we'll probably play online. We'll see. We'll figure it out. But that's good that you liked it, you know, and it got some decent reviews. It's not, the game is not bad. It's just, could have been better.
Could have been better. Yeah. But you know what? How much did you really expect when it was announced to up to release? What did you really expect out of this game? Like you were just like, oh my God, another Smash emulator, whatever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But then when I got to play it, I was like, hey, wait a second. This is a good game.
Yeah. That's good. All right, Nano.
Surprising. Pleasantly surprised.
Now, in a couple of weeks, Nano, I want us to get together because it's going to be the 20th anniversary of the event that we went to where we got to play Xbox for the first time. Been a huge fan of Nintendo. We already knew about PlayStation, you know, during that time. We were still pretty upset that Dreamcast, you know,
oh my God,
they stopped the production of the consoles, and you know, so we had to move on, etc. You know, GameCube was coming out.
Darkest moment of my life.
But we're going to be talking about that in a couple of weeks. And I can't wait for us to talk about that. And also, I played some of the audio that I recorded. I think I have one that I've never released, where I'm going to add it into the conversation of that podcast. But I can't wait to record that. I think this is going to be really fun to talk about it because, look, we were there for I was there for 48 hours. You were there for...
I was there
30-something. 30-something hours you were there.
Yeah, I was around... I couldn't make it. And you got to remember, I was, what, 15?
15 years old, I think you were.
I was 15. I was like 15 years old, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was... I skipped school to go to this event.
Well, you know,
my mom was like already.
I don't want to talk about it now. We want to save that for the next one.
Oh no! Well, I'm just saying, like everything that led up to that moment was, I was breaking every rule just to be there, but it was so worth it. Like it's one of the greatest memories I have.
Definitely, we're definitely going to talk about it here in the podcast. And yeah, 20 years, man. So, and it's part of the celebration of the 20th year anniversary of Xbox. So we're definitely going to talk about that in a couple weeks, but. But yeah, Nano, thanks for the review. It was a lot of fun just, you know, chit-chatting with you about this, man. It's good. And hopefully we could talk about more games, man, in the future.
Pick up Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl for any platform of your choosing. It's available on PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Xbox Series X and S, Nintendo Switch, Xbox One, I believe, yes.
And PC?
And I think available on Steam.
On Steam. There you go. Cool.
So it's a anywhere you could possibly want it. Try the game out. I think it's if you enjoy platform fighters, you'll love this game.
Yeah, take advantage of that, everyone. Take advantage of that. Now, Nano, very quick. I'm loving Back 4 Blood. I know you're loving it too. We got to sit down and talk about the game, man. We got to talk about like the tips and everything to do. The game is getting really challenging where we're at, man. You know, so
it's so frustrating at the point that we've gotten to. I don't see us getting anywhere close to Act 4.
No,
it's so hard.
I think we could do it. I think we could do it.
Yo, mind you, we're playing this on like the easiest setting.
I know
where there's no friendly fire. Because if there was, we'd all be dead.
We would have been dead.
Act 1.
Yeah.
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 I don't even think we would have made it this far.
Yeah, it would have been a disaster if it was like that.
But no, the game is actually really fun. And it's coming from somebody who really, I haven't played Left 4 Dead or any, like, I'm not really into like zombie games, you know, but this game is super fun. And if you're playing in a group, oh man, you're having a good time.
Yeah, that'll be good. It's going to be really, really cool. All right, Nano. But we're definitely going to talk about that in the future, but I think first thing first, definitely got to talk about this Xbox Unleashed event that happened 20 years ago. And there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stories that we have, so stay tuned for that. Now, for the next segment, I have an interview with Ali, product manager at PDP. We talked about the new headset and also game controller, which, Nano, they're calling this the fastest wired Xbox controller out there. So it's a very interesting conversation. I think people are gonna like it, and I have one too, so it's pretty cool.
Have you tried it out?
Yeah, I've been trying it out. Yeah, actually Reed too, we tried it out for a couple games. I tried it for Far Cry 6, played some Halo Infinite with it too, some of the Xbox X Cloud games too, and it's been good, really, really good, man. So I think you will like it too. So in the future, when you come over here, visit, or I'll go over there, I'll take it so you can test out the controller and everything. So when I go to Miami. All right?
Definitely.
Yeah, so we're going to play the interview here. And once we come back, we're going to wrap it up. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, Gamertag Radio listeners, let's talk about our sponsored Raid Shadow Legends. This is a totally free game that is out right now for Google Play Store and also iOS devices. Plus, for the PC, totally for free. Are you into turn-based role-playing game like me or games on the go? I think this is the perfect time for you guys to check out this game. And guess what? You could also support Gamertag Radio. This is how you do it. Download the game right now and use our code GamertagRaid. That's Gamer Tag Raid, all in one word, to receive an amazing welcome bonus. Plus, maybe you'll see me online. We'll battle out in the PvP arena where you can fight not only me, but also fight against other players online. Plus, you will see an amazing next generation mobile gaming graphics and over 400 champions. There are billions of possible builds and teams for different play modes. Once you download this, let me know your thoughts on Discord, and also let's play online. So go right now, download this game, Raid Shadow Legends, for free in the App Store, Google Play Store, and also for the PC, and use our code GamertagRaid to receive an amazing welcome bonus. Once again, that's GamertagRaid, that's R-A-I-D, all in one word, to receive an amazing welcome bonus. Hope to see you guys online. And thanks to Raid Shadow Legends for sponsoring this episode of Gamertag Radio.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
My name is Ali Omainfar. I'm one of the lead product managers for Victrix and PDP. And I also help with the esports initiatives for Victrix, so kind of events and sponsorships, things like that. And yeah, I've been with Victrix for about 3 years now. So, and I'm a hardcore gamer. I love gaming. I've been playing games since I was a kid. You know, since Nintendo and playing in the arcades in the 90s. And then in 2009, I started competing a little bit more in tournaments like Evo when Street Fighter 4 came out.
All right, Street Fighter 4. What was your favorite character in that one?
So Kamui was my main character in Street Fighter 4. Mm-hmm. Her dive kick was a lot of fun. Her Tiger Knee dive kicks.
Awesome. That's good to hear. Good to hear, man. Yeah, my brother is really into fighting games too, man. So I told him about the controller you guys announced. He's very excited about it, man. Very, very excited. What you can tell us about the new controller and also the new headset you guys just announced recently?
Yeah, sure. So we did announce a new line called our Gambit line. So we do have a Gambit controller and a Gambit headset. Two really cool features that they both share is Dolby Atmos. So we have Dolby Atmos integrated in both the controller and the headset. The controller overall is amazing. You know, for under $100, you get a ton of cool features. You get the back paddles, the hair triggers, 14 swappable components, and obviously a huge speed advantage, which we market heavily about. And then with the headset that I'm wearing right now, you do have the Dolby Atmos surround sound, as well as 50 millimeter drivers, a Cobra attack helicopter mic, and it is one of the most comfortable headsets out there as well.
Yeah, I know you guys called the controller the world's fastest Xbox controller. So for those that don't know, why is this the fastest Xbox controller?
Yeah, so we market as the world's fastest licensed Xbox controller out there. We've just done a ton of testing ourselves, and then we also spend a ton of money going to a third party lab, you know, very credible lab, NTS, to do our testing as well and verify that we are fastest, because you know, speed is very important, especially in any game. You know, in a shooter game, you have that 50-50 situation where whoever gets the first shot typically wins. Also in fighting games, you know, you have 50-50 scenarios where you both might throw the same kind of move at the same time, and whoever gets that counter hit gets the win. So speed is a huge thing, especially in competitive play. So that was one of the things we really wanted to make sure that we had as far as feature set for the controller.
Yeah, I was playing a couple of games at Apex. I tried also some cloud gaming through the Xbox console. Smooth. Everything has been good, man. Really, really good. And also Hades, which is a very challenging game. And this was like the perfect controller for that, man. So I had a good time with it, man. Really, really good. Yeah.
Glad you enjoyed
it. Yeah. So was this designed for just the average gamer or more for esports players?
So, yeah, I mean, it's a good question. Victrix is, you know, kind of built from esports. So a lot of our pro line, we've designed and tuned it for the esports pro out there. And with our Gambit line, we've pretty much taken the same tech and just made it a more affordable price. So the features and tech are there for the pro, but the price points are there for the consumers who kind of want to aspire to be the pro. We call them prosumers. So it's kind of like, you know, obviously pros can use it and they do use it all the time. Mm-hmm. But it's at the price point where a up and comer, you know, can afford it and purchase it and, you know, aspire to be a pro one day. So it definitely has all the top features you require for, say, like a shooter game with the back paddles and the hair trigger, and also fighters with, you have the hair trigger mode so you can block quicker, like in games like Mortal Kombat. We have the octagonal gate you can add in there as well. So yeah, it's, I would say it's made for both for sure.
Yeah, I like the design where the feature where there's a button where you could also control the volume of the headset that's connected to the controller. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I think it's a really cool feature.
Yeah, the function button, it's super cool. So you can adjust your volume on the headset as well as your game chat balance as well. And then if you double press the function button, you can mute the headset too. So yeah, it's kind of a little hidden features that we haven't really marketed. But it's really, really cool. So to be able to do that on the fly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was also playing a week ago. So I was playing the new Forza Horizon 5 with this controller. And it was really good because it feels like a premium controller. Like let's say like the others that is already for other companies. What other games you recommend for people to check out for this controller, in your opinion, for you as a gamer?
Yeah, so I actually play a lot of Apex Legends as well. I started getting into that really heavily in Season 10. So I would say for shooters, it's really, really beneficial to play with the controller. A game like Warzone, I think, is really cool too, because we have the four back paddles. So one really cool thing about Warzone is the new plating mechanic. So you have to kind of hold Y to plate up. So with that, you can have your back button become Y. So while you're strafing, you know, I actually have a controller here. So, you know, obviously you have your thumbs on the thumbsticks. The right one's more for kind of strafing. So you run, you know, with the left, and then you kind of go side to side with the right. Now, so when you're getting shot at, you can keep your movement going while holding the back button to plate up, as opposed to like getting your thumb off of it and holding Y. Mm-hmm. So you'd be able, you'd basically be running in a straight line and you get shot and killed pretty easily. So, mm-hmm. That's really good. I like it for Mortal Kombat as well. For Mortal Kombat 11, there's a mechanic called flawless blocking. So you basically have to hold the right trigger to block, and it's a one frame kind of move to do the flawless block. With us, since you have kind of the hair trigger, you know, it's a really quick button there. So your window kind of expands. So it's a lot easier to do harder execution moves like that. So.
Yeah. See, that feature, I really didn't use it that much because I was comfortable with just letting it loose all the way. Is this something that you always do, that you always lock it in a certain, depending on the game that you play to, or you like that with every other game?
Yeah, for the most part, I keep it on hair trigger mode just because I play a lot of shooters. And then, like I said, when I play Mortal Kombat, I want to block as quick as I can. But for other games, you know, like race car games and stuff, it is cool to have it in different levels. And that's what's cool with the controller. You know, you hold the clutch button and you can kind of depress it to any length you want. And then that value still stays. So like with the car example, you could have it at 50% travel, but you're still going to get 100% gas in your, you know, in the Forza game, as opposed to other controllers where if you're at 50% on the trigger, you might only get 50% throttle. But we still have a 0 to 100 output on our trigger system. It knows, even though you're at a new hardware setting, that it still should retain 0 to 100 value. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, when you guys were designing both the headset and the controller, was there something that you were trying to get more opinions from, like the average gamer or esports players, while designing this? Or was there any major changes to while designing these two products?
I don't know if there's any major changes, but we did get a ton of feedback and we did a lot of focus groups with pro players and average players too. I like to get feedback from both just because you get a ton of diversity in your responses and what people are looking for. You know, things that a pro is looking for might not be what consumers are looking for, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I think some of the cool things is the ergonomics. That's one thing we don't really talk most about, but that was one heavily R&D thing we did. It just fits super flush in your hand when you hold the controller. That's one thing a lot of people notice, even the casuals, which was cool because they find, you know, some of the casual gamers find stuff that's less technical. And that was one of the things they really liked, is how ergonomic it is in your hand. So yeah, I wouldn't say we changed too much, but we definitely did a ton of R&D with our focus groups.
Yeah. And what about the headset? Because, you know, there's sometimes, while you're playing and you have your controller and the headset, it might feel heavy after a while and it's really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Was that something too that you guys were focusing on, or just have it as comfortable as possible for those that are streamers, you know, using it for like a long time, or pro players, casual gamers?
Yeah. So we actually did a lot of focus groups with that as well. And we asked them, you know, what do you look for in a headset? What's your main feature? And a lot of people think it might be sound, but it's actually comfort. And that makes sense because, you know, if you're streaming all day, 8 hours a day, you want it to be comfortable. And when you're in a tournament as well, you're, you know, competing all day long. So we definitely took that into account. So we have things like the clamp force, the depth of the air cushions, the cavity of the of the acoustic cavity of the headset. So there's little things like that. You want to get the spacing right, because you're like, say your ear cartilage, if it's rubbing on that cavity over time, like within an hour, it'll cause a lot of irritation because it's a very sensitive part of your ear or your body. So we definitely took all that in consideration, as well as weight. It only weighs 301 grams as well. So it's super lightweight as well.
Yeah. Some people might ask, hey, why the controller is not wireless? Why is wired?
Yeah. So we did that. First party also for, you know, Microsoft, you have to have a wired controller for first party Microsoft as well. But it's also a speed advantage. You know, this is when you're wired, you're obviously a little bit more faster than when you're wireless. And then when you go to compete in tournaments, you have to have a wired connection as well. So for us, it was easy decision on that one.
Yeah. Do you see doing something like this for other consoles, you know, PS5, Nintendo Switch?
Yeah, I can't say too much on that stuff, but we definitely are looking at other consoles and platforms. We test on a ton. I have PlayStation 5 back there that I test all the time. So it's all I can say, it's definitely on our minds for sure. Yeah.
Be on the lookout for it, right? Be on the lookout. You never know.
Who knows?
Yeah. Because I think this would be the perfect controller for games like Smash and stuff like that. You know, I think it would be really cool.
Yeah. What's cool, too, is the octagonal gate. Because, you know, a lot of the Smash controllers, they have that kind of more octagonal gates in their like old school controllers. So, yeah, yes. You can pop in the octagonal ring and it'll feel more like a Smash controller. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, for those that are wondering, okay, what makes this very, very different than other products is out there? What makes your products different than the other ones?
Yeah, for sure. So I'd say for the controller, we have dual core processor. So we have one core that's for the action buttons and the triggers, the thumbsticks, and then one core strictly for the audio. So that helps a lot with the lag. So you have each core working independently. So that definitely gives us that speed advantage. And also, I'd say our patented clutch triggers. So, you know, most pro controllers out there have like 1 to 2 stops. I know the Elite has 3 stops. You know, we have 5 with this controller. So you can adjust it to 5 different settings, which is pretty unique. We also have different back paddles. You can do 2 to 4, the 14 components, sniper stick. I just think overall, everything we've kind of brought in for under $100 is pretty incredible. And that's a lot of the feedback we've gotten for the controllers. They can't believe that it was, you know, it's only $99.
Yeah.
For the headset, I would say the Dolby integration is really cool. You know, we have Dolby Atmos for life with the headset. So you simply plug in your dongle to the console or PC, download the Dolby app, and then it'll automatically recognize you have Dolby Atmos. And that it's kind of tuned for that as well. So the sounds are great. The bass is there, the mids, the highs, the lows. We have this thing called spectral hearing where we kind of engineer it to have the best sound for the headset. And Dolby is available on the controller as well, which is pretty unique.
Very, very good. Yeah, I was, I showed it to my fiance. She plays a lot of Apex Legends. And
oh, cool.
At first, she was pressing the back pedals here at the bottom a lot by mistake. What advice? I know it's the detachable. You could remove it if you want. That's what we did for her to get used to it after a while, you know. But yeah. What advice you would give for those that get this controller and that's like the first thing they do by mistake? They'll press the back pedals here.
Yeah. So a lot of gamers, especially kind of like newer gamers, they clench, especially when they're getting shot at or something. You know, the screen turns red, controller shaking. You're like, oh my God. So they do clench. I've seen a lot of my friends melee on accident, you know, hitting the right thumbstick because they're just squeezing so tight.
Yeah.
You could either remove it, as you said, or you can even disable the back buttons as well. So we made the back buttons pretty ergonomic where you can kind of see it's pretty flush to the rest of the controller. So it doesn't really intrude anything. It's not really uncomfortable. So you can simply just disable those buttons if you don't want to use them. But I do encourage people to use them. I know like for some people it's foreign and, you know, but after a week or so of muscle memory, they really do give you a huge advantage, you know, because you're able to keep your thumbs on the thumbsticks at all times. So you can slide, jump, strafe all while, you know, not having to get your thumbs off the stick. So it gives you a huge advantage in those gunfights.
And it's even perfect too for racing games. Really good, really good. Have you tried, I don't know if you played or got a chance to play Halo Infinite. Have you got to play it too?
I haven't tried the betas or anything like that. I've obviously played the older versions. But yeah, I'm hopefully looking forward to it. It comes out, I'm actually having twins in December. So
oh, congrats. All right.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah. Two boys coming. So it's coming around the same time as Halo. So I'm hoping I get to get a few games in before they come. So
I'm super, super curious to hear your thoughts about how the controller feels playing with Halo. Cause I'm a huge Halo fan, like from way back in the days. You know? So
yeah,
that's really good. Really cool. Yeah. Any other things you want to say about plans that you guys have in the future or this is it for now? These two products.
We're always having more things in the pipeline. You know, we have kind of brainstorm sessions almost weekly. Honestly, we have a bunch of ideas we bring to the table, and then we kind of have green light sessions pretty often as well to see what we can get through and create. But we're definitely excited with these two products. We think that the Gambit line will be really helpful for our customers out there. I know a lot of our Pro AF, Fight Stick, stuff like that. Or sorry, the Pro Fest. Those are more high on the pricing side, you know, $300 to $400 price points. So we're hoping the Gambit line can kind of help with our fans who want our stuff, but it's a little expensive. So we hope everyone enjoys the Gambit line.
Awesome. Why the color purple? I'm very curious about that.
Yeah, I mean, so Victrix, just in general, I gotta like research more on our history, but I know Victrix is like an empress, or you know, like she's like a female warrior in Rome or something like that. I didn't, you know, create Victrix, but the founder, It was based off that, like a female warrior. So that's why, you know, purple is kind of more fitting, I guess we'd say. And it's a cool color, you know. It's actually, you know.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm purple in the back.
Purple, yeah, you know, purple is an awesome color. So, yeah. Victrix says the meaning of it's like kind of a female warrior. So we thought it was kind of a cool color to have. So black and purple is our main colors.
That's good. Now, my question to you before we wrap it up, you know, once you guys announced this and now content creators also received these products to, you know, talk about on their platform, have you been looking around, you and your team, to see what the reaction from people, what they're saying about the products, and how's it been for you guys? Because I know it is hard while working on a product for a while, and you're like, oh, I don't know how people react to it, you know? So how was it when you guys...
Yeah, no, it's funny you said that, because, yeah, we were, you know, me and Trevor, one of my main partner on the projects, when we were launching, we're like, oh, man, like, we got to read the reviews. Hopefully people like it. I was super nervous, you know, but luckily everything has been really positive so far. On Amazon, we've had good ratings from what I've seen. I think we were like number one best-selling controller in Japan, Amazon Japan, from what I saw.
Wow.
So that was cool to see that. And then everything, all the articles I've read and stuff like that so far have been pretty positive. So yeah, I was super nervous, though, not going to lie.
Okay. Is these products are only available online, or can people just go to like a retail store locally and buy it too, or that's in the future?
I do believe they should be at GameStop. I believe there might be GameStop, and I think Target and Best Buy. I think they might be online only for Target and Best Buy. I'm not 100% sure. Mm-hmm. But I do believe GameStop should have some in the store. But you can definitely get those at the online sites for those retailers, and obviously Amazon as well.
All right, cool. And for more information about the controls, where's like the best site people could go?
Yeah, our website, victrixpro.com. We have a ton of info on there, you know, a lot of videos, tutorials, things you can do and check out. So definitely check out our website, I would say, to get all the info on it.
Thanks a lot. But thanks a lot, Lee, for the interview, man. It was really cool.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, Nano, that was an interview. We're going to wrap it up here, man. Thank you so much, man, for recording this, man. So it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Yep. Again, loving the game.
All right.
Thank you for letting me play it and having me on. I love talking about video games.
Definitely, man. We got to get you more codes so you could try out some different games. We'll see. Because there's a lot of big games coming out this holiday season. There's a lot. Halo Infinite.
I'll be honest with you. Yeah, once Halo comes out, I don't know if I'm going to play anything else.
That's it. You're done. It's a wrap.
Yeah, I'm locked down for a while.
All right, now I understand. Now, are you going to play the campaign, or are you going to strictly go with the multiplayer and that's it?
I'll be honest with you. I have a tradition of never playing the campaign for at least a week. I grind multiplayer as hard as I can.
So, I mean,
but you know me. That's just I'm a tournament guy. Like, I like going to events.
Yeah.
I'm considering going to the first major HCS event in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Oh, really? You're going to try to go to that?
Maybe if I can get the team that I want to go, then I'll show my face.
Wait. So you're doing this to compete?
I'm going
to
compete. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm probably going to compete. I'm only going to give it one or two shots. But
I'm impressed. I was not expecting that. So you're going to take.
Hey, baby.
So this is your retirement. Just one more time.
I'm coming out of retirement. It might be like Jordan when he came back to the to the Wizards and he was terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm gonna go out there.
That's good.
I just wanna, you know, it's a good feeling. Like, I don't think there's any game that does that gives you that competitive feeling. Like Halo. Halo's one of the original, you know, probably the first game that I played competitively, aside from like Street Fighter and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But like for a first person shooter and on Xbox especially.
Yeah,
that's a game that like I met the majority of my friends through.
I mean, the closest maybe Apex.
Apex is really good, but I never played that competitively. Like, I'm not even close to the to how good those people are. Halo, I am. I could keep up.
So. Okay. All right. Well, we're gonna wrap it up here, everyone. Nano, how could people follow you online?
Don't follow me. I don't like when people follow me.
Okay.
No, I'm joking. It's Nano 551 on everything. All across the board. So just look me up. Don't talk much, but I'm up there.
Yeah. So I'm gonna put his link to his Twitter account on the description of this episode. Yeah, make sure to follow him and maybe you'll battle him out online. Nickelodeon, the Nickelodeon game, right? All-Star Brawl.
Oh, see me online, baby?
Yeah, do it. All right, everyone, head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Listen to our past episodes. You could also find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Subscribe, follow us, post a review, share with your friends, and let people know about this show. If you would like to be part of our fan mail segment or episode, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, we're going to wrap it up. This is this was Danny Pena hosting this episode. The crew is coming back in the future. Stay tuned for that. Dano, thank you one more time. And everyone for listening. Until next time, we're out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.